business expansion, and then
the mutual benefit of the ecosystem that is aligned.
Just start sharing our solution.
Welcome to Make Them Famous, the podcast about partner enablement.
The only podcast to uncover both how partner teams enable their partners
and how other department leaders enable their partner teams to achieve success.
Let me go ahead and dive into what's going on right now. So I had a call today with one of our partner managers. She was struggling with finding ways to increase the number of referrals that she can send back to her top tier partners. When you're dealing with top-tier solutions, partners, agencies in this example, one of the toughest things for a tech team, a partner manager specifically at a tech team to do, is ensure that that agency is going to get direct referrals back from the tech partner, from themselves, from their partner team. Now, I talked to her about ways that I've seen it work and ways that you can, I wouldn't use the word scale it, but I'd use the word flywheel, if you will, or at least some sort of a process that ensures partners are getting value back from your program, not in the form of commissions. Most won't care about that. Not in the form of just being included in content, although that is one of the strategies. Mainly a scenario where they can trust that you are doing everything in your power to bring them business. And some of these will effectively bring them business, which they will appreciate. So let me share my screen. And again, if you're listening, don't worry, we're going to do a whole bunch and get you some value regardless. Okay, so here's the article I just published. It's in our newsletter as well. If you're not following our newsletter, it's called Partnerships Led Growth on LinkedIn. I'll link in the comments as well. The strategies are here for these two scenarios. The scenario number one is you're a partner manager and you have hundreds of partners, maybe even thousands. But you have a lot of partners and you can't possibly service them all or feed them all leads. Scenario number two is you are new to the company, meaning you don't have a lot of contacts internally and you don't have a lot of customer access, or you're just a partner manager that gets totally siloed from customer relations and you just don't know the customers. If you don't know who they are and what their issues are, you can't refer them to your partners, there's no way. Let's talk through the five strategies. Strategy number one is really two strategies rolled up into one, but it is a strategy where you want to consolidate both offers and resources and put them into your processes for both converting more partners in your funnel, or sorry, more users in your funnel using your partner content and templates, and also helping to alleviate churn inside of your user base. So I'll explain what that means. Let's start with churn. One of the things that your partners can do that you and your CS and sales team cannot do is help your struggling users with everything related to the product and the use case, right? So you may have a CRM or you may have some tool, an email tool or something like that. Your product team, your CS team, your sales team know everything about the tool, but what they don't know is how the solution fits into a bigger strategy. Your solution partners, your marketing agencies, your development agencies, your strategy consultants, they do. So figuring out more ways to connect your struggling churning users with your partners is a great practice. Here are seven steps. Step one, talk to your CS and sales team about getting a churn user accounts list. You can do this every 3 months, every 6 months, once a year. Segment that list based on the ICPs. So you may have, let's say, three or four main ICPs. Create and define those segments. Then figure out where you're going to store the offers to each segment. The offers are going to be from your solution partners to one or all of the segments based on how relative they are, right? How useful they are. I like to use Airtable for any of this type of stuff. Airtable allows you to create a form, create a grid, a base, whatever you want to call it, and also create a view of the base where you can share the view, and the view may not have sensitive information that the base has, and that view can be accessible to anybody or whoever you link it, whoever you send the link to. You send your partners an email that says, hey, we're doing this campaign to try to alleviate churn. We're trying to introduce them to more solutions partners. What we need from you is an offer to one of these segments or all of the segments. Here's a form if you'd like to participate. The form gets all of the offer details. A typical offer, an example offer, I guess, would be, you know, maybe the partner is a CRM implementation partner and they typically charge a setup fee and a retainer. Maybe they waive the setup fee, or maybe they do a free audit, or maybe they're willing to, I don't know, do a bunch of stuff that they don't usually do for a much lower chunk of change. Whatever it is, it just has to be something with specific numbers. So don't let them say, oh, 30% off services, but something more actionable, like we'll perform blank for blank dollars and blank of it or part of it will be free. Have them be specific. When you consolidate a good number of offers for all the users, then you send an email out to the troubled users with resource links from your help desk, your calendar link to support them, or your customer success calendar link. And this should be going out from customer success, by the way, not from the partner team. And then a link to the Airtable grid with a call to action saying, hey, if you need extra support, we have expert solution partners that do all sorts of services. They've gotten together and given us a list of what they can, you know, bare minimum offer you, our users, to help you with your business. Here's a link to those offers. So that's strategy number one. Now, part of that strategy is the resource section. Now, resources should also be from your partners. One of the best things that you, from a product standpoint, or from a website, really, a funnel standpoint, one of the best things you can do is include your partner blank in your funnel. I link to two examples of this, and I'll explain for those who are just listening what those examples are. Number one, Databox has a partner directory, which is par for the course at this stage. Once you have a couple hundred partners, you should be housing them in a filterable directory. That's good. What's better than that is to have a resource library, a downloadable template resource library of stuff that your partners have created that is valuable and relevant for your users. Databox goes a step even further than that by actually involving those templates in the product onboarding, where I can start off on Databox using one of the templates. I talk about this in a lot of our content. I think it's just the greatest partner and product-led partnership strategy that we've seen. So the benefit here is the partner, I'm showing one of the templates here from Databox, from Impact Agency. It has their branding all over it. It has received 11,000 downloads. It has their backlinks. It has a little bit more about the agency. Impact is for sure getting leads from this landing page, and Databox is getting high quality, probably highly retained users from it as well. So if you have a list of the high churning or high potential to churn users, and you get them something like this that helps alleviate their issues and introduces them to an agency who can help, it's a win-win-win all around. The other one is HubSpot. HubSpot does this a lot. They've got a lot of different resource libraries. One of them is called Inbound Marketing Strategy Partner Contributions. It is direct outbound links to resources compiled from their partners. I'm showing one example, a HubSpot Salesforce integration course that links directly to Coastal Consulting, a HubSpot partner, I'm sure. It just links to her course. And I'm sure this person, this agency, is getting a lot of leads from that. Now, HubSpot did the composing of the product, which is the directory. So you got to have some sort of a directory product, or at least a custom web page. And then they go a step further, make it indexed. So it's findable by any search term that can find this page. It probably indexes well. And then, of course, instead of trying to create a form funnel where HubSpot's capturing the leads and then maybe they kind of dish those out, they're just linking directly to their partners. Super valuable. And again, those two strategies, it's not the partner manager making a direct introduction to the partner from the customer. It's not partner manager saying, let me email introduce you to this struggling customer. It's a system that is designed to introduce partners to customers, but you don't have to be in the middle, and you shouldn't be in the middle, in my opinion. There's not a lot of scenarios where a partner manager CCs a customer and a partner on the same email, especially as the organization gets bigger. Strategy number two, have revolving co-marketing collaborations to feature partners in. This is something we talk a lot about. You market before you sell. You don't sell first and market, co-market in this case, second. You do the marketing first. Now with partners, we're still trying to keep this under the umbrella of bringing more leads to current partners. Your strategy is to get with marketing and have some revolving stuff, both light, medium, and heavy stuff that you can involve partners in at different stages. Partners at the top tier stage, they've brought you deals, they work with you closely. Those get involved in your recurring quarterly, heavier, more expensive, more time consuming, expensive for you, not your partners, you don't charge your partners, more time consuming stuff like an event. Maybe you do quarterly events, you involve three top tier partners, and everybody's happy. They get a lot of exposure. Maybe they even share in the leads, or at least maybe something they offer gets distributed to the event attendees, something like that. A medium, mid-level involvement would be something like a podcast or a partner feature where you're just talking about one partner and maybe developing a case study with them and showcasing that on your blog. I usually show this one from smith.ai that is getting the partner a lot of business, gets smith.ai a lot of really high quality traffic, and everybody wins. So I'm showing on screen how to track smith.ai live in Google chat using Google ads and analytics. It's by Matt Burke at Zillometrics, and it goes into detail on how he does it. Now, notice there's not, well, I'll just say this in case you're listening to it. There's a big difference between use cases and case studies. Case studies take a great success story, participation from both sides, time, you know, it takes time to create a case study. A use case, how to do blank with blank and blank, only takes a few minutes. And most importantly for your marketing team and your partnerships team, your partner doesn't need to be the expert in that implementation. You can dig through your help desk and say, hey, I've got this Klaviyo integration and I've got a document that talks about how to set it up and how to execute this in a campaign. And I've got this Klaviyo partner, agency partner, that's also a partner of mine. Well, why don't we just take it out of the help docs, reword it a little bit, and stick the agency's name on it? And, you know, you may think about that as like, no, it's a little subversive. It's kind of odd. No, it's exactly what your agency needs. They need to be seen as the expert. They know how to integrate your product with another product. So it's not that they wouldn't be able to do that. So you're not lying to your traffic, but what you're doing is bringing your partners closer to your funnel. You're highlighting them as the thought leader, and that's a more medium and more involved. The lightest type of revolving, again, we're talking about revolving content that you want to include partners in, are things like expert roundups. So I'm showing one on screen here. It's SEO tips from our leading agency partners. And there are 7 or 8. It's from Particle, by the way. Shout out to Ben Reynolds at Particle. There are 7 or 8 agencies. The agencies get their founder or whoever replied to it, their face in the article, which is important. Agency people involved in this content that you're creating are more inclined to share the content if their face is involved. If it's just their logo, you won't get as much engagement from them. That's just a quick tip. Do follow backlinks. Always make it do follow. We had someone create a live offer in Partner Hub, which I'll link to how to do live offers. It's a free feature that we offer in Partner Hub. We had someone post a live offer, publish it, had a bunch of agencies involved, and they blocked all the outbound links. And the agencies were like, what the hell? Like, why would they waste our time? You know, because they're frustrated because the do follow backlink and that domain authority, which is usually higher from the tech partner's website to the agency website, is super valuable. So they want that to be a do follow backlink. So again, light expert roundup, use this to capture more partners early on, get them engaged and activated quickly. Medium expert features podcast, stuff that you have to spend a little bit more time and energy on. Use that for partners that maybe were super active that have been kind of stale lately. Throw out an offer to feature them in something. Heavies like an event, something big, something that includes market development funds, and include top tier partners in those and generate a bunch of business. I linked to a bunch of examples of that stuff and underneath strategy two. Strategy three, use a section of your newsletter to bring attention to your partners. That seems common sense, but I had to mention it because it's not done enough. I'll just show you real quick what one looks like. It is Smith.ai's partner newsletter. And they do their typical, like, what's going on with the resellers. They do these cash bonus spiffs. And then at the bottom, they have partner spotlight. They were nice enough to include me in a partner spotlight. And that makes me feel good, yes. But it puts us in front of a lot of their integrations partners, and we get inbound from that. Ways to use the newsletter section. Way number one, partner of the week. Why not? Way number two, offer of the week. So your partner newsletter. Okay, and let's just split this up a little bit. Newsletter versus partner newsletter. That may be a question that you have right now. There are a newsletter that'll go out to your partners would just be updates to the program. Those aren't very valuable unless there is a big update. So keep them lower frequency. Then there's your general newsletter, which is strategy stuff about your product and use cases and things that are going on, things that your users need to know. That's where you have a partner section. And that's where you include partner of the week, offer of the week. So that's something where a solution partner can say, hey, for the next five of your referrals, I'm willing to do blank. And maybe that goes in the partner section at the bottom of the main newsletter. And then a strategy of the week, you want your partners to be the thought leaders and to be, we call it make them famous, a term that Pete Caputo over at Databox coined. And it's really just making sure that they're in the middle. They're the ones, not you, not your content team, not your marketing team. They're the thought leaders in your network, right? Okay, so that was bringing partners into a section of your newsletter called Partner Spotlight or something like that. Strategy number four, bring partners closer to your sales and CS teams. Very hard to do, but very, very important, especially as your program grows. How this brings partners leads. Partner managers are not in direct communication with users typically. So how can they make relevant introductions to customers? They usually can't, but the sales and CS teams hear customer complaints that can be resolved by partners. These teams should have a list of partners to send to troubled clients. However, you should not be completely on the hook for bringing your partner referrals, you, the partner manager. Your partner needs to network within your company as well. It's a two-way street. So if a partner's complaining, you can ask them questions about, well, who do you know on my sales team? Have you been networking with Jimmy or Trisha over there? They're great people. And you want me to put you in touch? That's one way, just really lax, but a good way, a better way is to make it a process, make it a routine. Here are the five ways you can bring partners closer to sales and CS. Way number one, round robin top 10 partners of the month to refer to. This is a list that you circulate with your CS and sales team that details out what they're good at, what types of customers they work with, contact details, calendar links, all that good stuff. Now, when a customer success or sales manager is dealing with a troubled client that says, ah, your tool's not connected to this and it's not converting here and this is not, and then they say, okay, well, would you like us to connect you with a solutions partner? I can send you a list of our favorite 10 and they're really good with that pain point. Would you like the list? Inviting partners in for a reverse lunch and learn. Reverse lunch and learn is where they come to you and present. Usually lunch and learns are you go to them and present your product and partner track, et cetera. But flip that, invite them in, have at least a couple CS and sales people there to hear them out and let them present what they do, ICP, how they go to market with you and your company and partners. Number three, giving your partners a partner memorandum is what we call it. Template. It's kind of like a contract. It's more of an agreement than a contract. More of a just, I promise to do this. You promise to do that. Here's our partnership. Many times we kind of feel as partner teams or as tech teams that it's one size fits all. All of our partners are solutions partners. They all sign this agreement and they're all getting this commission and everything's automated. When in reality, every partner is going to have a different relationship with you, your team, and your product. So that's where we have our boilerplate agreements, NDAs, et cetera. Then we have a partner memorandum, and we revisit that memorandum with our solutions partners quarterly, ideally, but yearly at the very least. I link to a template. I'll try to get that in the notes as well if this is a podcast episode. Number four, show your partners how – oh, sorry. The addition to number three is give them the partner memorandum, then package up all the filled out memorandums, those who fill them out, in a folder in an Airtable base somewhere, and then make sure you train your CS and sales team where that folder is so that they can review those memorandums with clients, customers, troubled users, and you would package those up and tag them by which ideal customer persona each one of those partners is best for to make it really easy. That's what Airtable is great at. You can tag them by the persona, and then you can filter group by persona. And then your CS team just says, that's that persona. Here are the top five partners. Here's their memorandum, and start making referrals. Show your partners how to, number four, show your partners how to back channel new CS and sales reps to invite to a virtual coffee. So help them figure out the best way to talk to your CS and sales reps. Is it in a community forum? Is it in a Slack channel? Is it via email? Is it quarterly stand-ups? Is it what, right? Help them. If they use Sales Navigator, you can show them how to set up alerts. When your company hires a new CS or sales team, they can get an alert and quickly send that new rep the memorandum, introduce themselves, invite to virtual coffee, et cetera, et cetera. Getting your partners to spiff your CS and sales reps is ideal. So sometimes your partners will be like, hey, you know, what's going on with your sales team? I haven't heard from them in a while. They sent me a deal a year ago and I haven't heard from them since. And you say, you know what, why don't we just do a spiff campaign where the next five deals they send you, you'll pay them out $500 a deal. Those are worth way more than $500 for you. Why not? Or $100, something substantial, not a Starbucks gift card or anything. Add your sales and CS leads to partnerships Slack channel. So back to how you back channel them. Well, why aren't the sales leads and the CS leads in some sort of a group communication with your top partners? And that's for top tier partners, not every partner. I'd go as far as monthly stand-ups with heads of departments and top tier partners. Strategy number five, make referrals a part of onboarding new high-value users. One of my absolute favorites. It's executed very well by HubSpot, of course, Microsoft, Salesforce, these big ecosystems, they do it all the time. I was actually in a funnel for support from Atlassian for Jira product, and I submitted the ticket, and then they asked me if I was already connected with a solutions expert in their program in the form. And I said, no. And then immediately another question popped up that said, would you like us to introduce you to one of them? And then it actually linked to the directory in case I say no, but I want to actually explore on my own. That was killer. So what the strategy that I want to recommend is involving partners in the sales motion as a practice, not as a one-off, or maybe one rep does it, but another rep doesn't. And the way you do this is in the best case scenario, or in the practices of like HubSpot, they have these liaisons, these sales liaisons that are experts in the product and implementation and very, very engaged in the partner community. And it's mandated, so to speak, for them, or at least it's done constantly, but with bigger deals that require lots of customization, they know that they can't support the customer in the way that a solutions partner can. So they review, vet, scope out the implementation, and they immediately involve a partner and highly recommend them. Of course, the client, the user doesn't have to take the partner referral, but they bring them in almost like, you know, this is so-and-so. They're going to help make sure that this is the right build for you. And then there's different relationships that get unfolded between the tech companies and their partners based on that scenario. One relationship that I want to talk about is a relationship where you have a custom tier or an enterprise tier of your product. And you know that there are a lot of onboarding hours in that custom tier or that enterprise tier. Incorrect way to go about this, or pre-partnerships way, is to have dedicated CS reps that are implementation support, and they go very far into this build with those high ticket customers. And let's say, throwing out a number, let's say there's 20 hours in that build of the CS team. That means 20 hours that rep will budget essentially for, or the company will budget to pay that rep for that implementation. And they go about it, and then they go to the next and the next, and they maybe can do 5 a week or something like that. Or 5 a month, something like that. I don't know. Now that is an incorrect, inefficient, non-partner driven way. The correct way, the partner driven way, is to take that same implementation and train a handful of partners every quarter to be able to execute that implementation the same way, if not even better, than your CS team can. And then you take 15 hours out of the 20 hours that it takes anyone to do that implementation, any expert, right? Five of those hours you keep for the company to pay the CS rep, because they're still going to need to involve themselves. You can't take customer success out of the equation. But you take 15 of those hours and you actually pay the partner to do those 15 hours of work with your new user to get that customization done. You introduce those partners to the customer, and the relationship is behind. It's not a invoice goes out and the customer knows that they're being paid. It's really just, here's your solutions partner. They're going to do the implementation, no cost to you, the user, and they do the 15 hours. By that point, the customer either needs extra support, and then they can talk about projects, retainers, budget, et cetera, with the solutions partner, or they get it done. They don't need any extra support. They go their separate ways, and maybe they come back later with a project need, but they know the agency did great work for them during that time. there was some consulting done, or at least some like advice on other aspects of the funnel that maybe a CS team would never have been able to spot. Maybe they had some breaks and things and poor optimization of blank and blank. That is the type of support and the type of customer success that a CS rep cannot actually accomplish. So having the expert involved in that equation, that onboarding, that support is such a win-win-win for the customer, first and foremost, for you as a partner team, as a tech company that needs solution partners. And then the other aspect of that is the thought of trying to hire one new sales rep for each of those maybe 5 to 10 monthly deals that come through and train them is just not sustainable. So having solution partners that are in a certification program, coming through, getting a bunch of these deals done, a new batch of certified users comes in, gets new ones. And as you grow, they grow. And then maybe you get to a plateau point. You don't need to train more, but you have your nice base and you guys are crushing these implementations together. So that's strategy number 5, making referrals and customer success, weaving that in with partnerships very early on in the sales and onboarding process of your product. So those are 5 ways to generate referrals back to your partners when you're in a larger or starting off, but it'll become larger. At least you're dealing with top tier solutions partners in a partner program. I hope that was beneficial. Please let me know if you have any questions, comments, Slack, LinkedIn, alex@partnerprograms.io is my email. Let me know. Well, we could not make this podcast famous without help from our sponsors. For sponsorship, we looked to 3 platforms that help you find, activate, enable, and manage your partner program. These 3 tools may be the only tools that you'll need to effectively run partnership. The tools in question are Reveal for account mapping and running co-selling operations, Partner Stack for scaling a multi-tiered commission-centric program, and Partner Hub for working closely day-to-day with MSPs, managed service providers. Partner Stack probably needs no introduction, excuse me. They work with top tech companies like Monday.com, Unbounce, Intercom, and Webflow. And it's a company that we recommend when you are ready to scale your commission-centric, usually a multi-tiered partner program. Check out Partner Stack to scale partnerships. Reveal, again, when you're ready to really get into the revenue operation of partnerships, that means that you want to map accounts, see what the overlap is, see who I'm targeting that you're also targeting, see who I'm targeting that you're not targeting, and come up with a strategy to get those accounts into my pipeline, into your pipeline, and to build that pie, that bigger and bigger pie together. Oftentimes, you'll invite a partner to an account mapping solution that has a paywall too early, which is prohibitive for a lot of the target audiences that our partner programs are after, the digital agencies. If you invite them to Reveal, you can trust that they won't hit a paywall. There's 360 account mapping UI in Reveal for free, and it is at reveal.co. Finally, Partner Hub, again, it's a partner operations platform. Partnerships has a lot going on. Who's doing what at what stage in the partnership are the questions that many of my partner managers ask themselves. Partner Hub is here to solve for what are we doing with partnerships, who's doing what, where are our partners, and if we need to find more, are we able to go and shop for more partners? Partner Hub answers all of those questions with yes, and it is free. It's free for top tech companies like Apollo, AudioEye, Smith, Growbots, Recart, Customer.io, and it's free for digital agencies like Hawk Media, Trellis, Aptitude 8, Creative Trends. A lot of these tech companies and agencies use Partner Hub to find and align with each other, MSP, managed service provider, digital agency, as well as SaaS tech companies. Just check it out, partnerhub.app. And again, thank you for listening.